Okay, I will call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that the time is currently 9:17 a.m. on Thursday, April 9th, 2026. And present today, we have Representative Allard, Representative Stapp, Representative Moore, Representative Co-Chair Shragi, Co-Chair Josephson, Representative Galvin, Representative Tomaszewski, Representative Hannon, myself, Co-Chair Foster. And just a reminder, folks can mute their cell phones. We have only one bill in front of us today, and that is House Bill 133, Payment of Contracts by Representative Hemschut. So with that, let's see, we've heard the bill two times. We've taken invited testimony, public testimony. We've reviewed the fiscal notes. We do have one amendment this morning for the bill. If we could have Representative Hemschut come up, as well as her trusty staff, Ms. Ella Lubin. And if you could put yourself on the record and just give us a brief recap of the bill.
Thank you, Chair Foster. And I'm Rebecca Hemschut, House District 2, with my staff member.
For the record, Ella Lubin, staff to Rep. Hemschut.
And House Bill 133 is basically a good governance bill. The bill seeks to set a payment standard to match the standard that we already have in statute for private contractors providing public works for the state of Alaska. And so this would bring the same payment requirements to our state government contracting or providing grants to tribes, municipalities, or I should say tribal organizations, municipalities, and nonprofits.
Thank you so very much. Before we go into the amendment, just want to make sure, do folks have any questions? Okay, seeing none, Representative Hannon, would you like to make a motion for your amendment?
Thank you. I move Amendment 1, Chair Foster.
I'll object for purpose of discussion. Was somebody, I thought I heard my name, Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Amendment 1 addresses concerns that we talked about here at the table and the sponsor is supportive and encouraging of, which is to add a report due to us from the departments about how long it is taking them to pay contractors. We had in some fiscal notes a variety of dates, but we don't have them from all departments, so we don't have the comprehensive information of the breadth and depth of the problem. It continues, except for that new section being added, the report to us, which has an immediate effective date starting in the new fiscal year, and then a report to us due in January. The rest of the bill has a delayed implementation until 2027. That continues. That that change was made in State Affairs, but it continues in this amendment. So compliance and the carrot stick that the bill would implement does not go into effect until 27, July 1st of 2027. And that's the summation of the amendment.
Okay. Representative Josephson?
Yes, Representative Hannon, the current version, the State Affairs version, says this act takes effect July 2027. So what did we change on the effective date?
Nothing. Nothing. But in the drafting, my understanding is they wanted it included because we were changing the sections and the renumbering.
Okay.
So for the stick portion of the bill, a penalty paid by agencies not compliant, that is a year out, FY27, but the report has an immediate effective date.
Okay. And just for the record, we also have with us Representative Jimmy. And do we have any questions? Okay. Representative Tomaszewski.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Foster. So I believe when we talked about this bill at the last hearing, we were talking about extending that effective date of the overall bill for 2 years. I thought I heard the sponsor of the bill say, but then it's this hasn't changed it. So I understand we're putting in a report that is effective immediately, but I was under the impression that maybe we wanted to back off the effective date of the overall bill by 2 years. So maybe you can clarify that.
Representative Hemschut.
Thank you. Through the chair, thank you for the question, Representative Tomaszewski. And what we're hearing is the departments are already aware of the situation. And so delaying the remedy is not really necessary. So by adding the report, that allows them to sort of, I don't know what the right term is, to organize themselves to be able to come to us if there are additional asks that they have in order to meet the intent of the bill. And so delaying it 2 years is just unnecessary.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Rebecca, or sorry, Representative Hemshoot, do you have any comments on the amendment?
Chair Foster, no, we are supportive of the amendment.
Okay. Okay, seeing no further comments or questions, I will remove my objection. Are there any further objections? Okay, seeing none. Well, I think that takes us through the entirety of the process for this bill. If it is the desire of the committee, I would entertain a motion to move the bill out of committee.
Co-Chair Foster, I move House Bill 133, Work Order 34-LS0114-S, out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Okay.
Object.
We have an objection. Would you like to speak to your objection, Representative Ballard?
Sure. I appreciate the bill, but the fiscal notes are outrageously high, and being on finance and trying to cut a few things here and there, I wouldn't be able to support the bill at this time.
Okay. Representative Stapp?
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Foster. Yeah, this is a tough bill. I think it's a good bill, actually. I mean, I think the intent's in the right place. I think we should pay our bills on time. I know Rep. Ballard to my left kind of mentioned the astronomical cost, which is sad because that shows you how bad we are with not paying our bills on time. That's why it costs so much money. I will say, you know, I think that because you have departments that are basically saying they're not going to do this and they're going to just pay a fine, if you pass the bill, what will end up happening is they will prioritize the big contracts they have and they will pay the smaller people, i.e. the nonprofit, small nonprofits, Meals on Wheels and stuff like that at the very end. So they will probably pay them even more delayed than they are currently. So I'm going to be hesitant to not support the bill, even though I like the bill and it tries to fix the problem. I'm just not sure how we fix the problem other than getting different people in charge of the places that they need to be who will actually ask for the resources to fix the problems. So thanks.
Okay. Representative Galvin and Hannon.
Yes, thank you. I will be supporting this bill, and I want to mention that I was very pleased to see the conversation among all of us when we had departments who were struggling. And I want to add that I think because of this bill, we saw one department come forward and very forthrightly say, yeah, for the first time, we're really looking at this, and this is a problem, and we're looking into why it's a problem. So to me, I don't think that this is going to get in the way of paying our bills on time. Instead, I think it may be the impetus that's needed to move us ahead and really operate as good government and grow the integrity that we all aspire to. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Hannon.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. And I guess one of my questions is for you as co-chairs, because of the delayed implementation date in the bill, it would seem to me that the FY27 fiscal notes don't need to be applied. And we heard from at least one department that six separate divisions that had multiple fiscal notes, their belief and hope. They designed the fiscal notes based on their current staffing and capacity, but they are a department that is receiving back accounting positions, and their hope is to, over the course of a year, stand those folks up and have a more systemic approach to paying their bills and doing other processes internally. So I don't know whether we can bifurcate their fiscal notes and say only the future going back or not adopt the fiscal notes. The largest fiscal notes comes from DMVA, and I think their rationale was these are massive federal programs and we just don't get it in a timely fashion. So that's a department that I want to see sort of the reporting on. And we know that, but that's also one of those where getting emergency grants out is pretty darn critical in a timely fashion, you know, to people who are supposed to be receiving emergency monies. So I don't know if we can say no fiscal notes for FY27, because it's not going into effect until the following fiscal year, or how we do that. I know that we have some latitude as the Finance Committee when legislation goes forward with fiscal notes. But to me, the reason we put the report in was to address that issue. And all those departments were reporting on FY25 data of how long it had taken them, because they don't have 26 data. And we know that their staffing changes are going to change for FY27. So I'm supportive of the bill. I want us to be paying our bills on time, but we don't want to just default to, I'd rather pay tardy penalties than pay my bills.
Would like to recognize that we have with us also Representative Bynum. Representative Hannon, what you're saying sounds very reasonable to me. We do have that latitude, and we do have two of our members of the conference committee, which at the end rolls in the fiscal notes, and I'm sure there's some latitude as to how they move forward with that. I guess my preference in answering that question for sure would be ask somebody from Leg Finance or the departments, but it sounds pretty reasonable. I don't know if Representative Josephson is the operating chair, and I think this year the Senate has the gavel in terms of the conference committee, but do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, one thought is to call Mr. Anderson up and see. I think what Reps Hannon is saying is that could we zero out the fiscal notes and give them an effective date of July 1, 27? Is that the essence of
Representative Hannon?
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster, to Co-Chair Josephson. Yes, but I don't necessarily want to fund their full fiscal note for FY27 till we see that report. Because they're saying, based on FY25 staffing, this is what it'll cost us. But we know that, at least in the Department of Health, their staffing in their accounts payable is going to change by if the budget goes forward, five positions transferred, then they've asked for two more, so seven additional positions. And systemically, their deputy commissioner said they're setting out to make sure that they are more systemically paying them all in a uniform process. And that, you know, because we saw from their six fiscal notes, wide range of, you know, I think one was 15 days average and the other was 46 days average. So,
Mr. Chairman, I like this proposal. I mean, one idea is to bring up Mr. Anderson and telephone Mr. Painter.
Yeah.
And the combination of the two might give us a pathway.
Mm-hmm. Let's first bring up Mr. Anderson, and then I do have in the line Representative Bynum, Representative Stapp, and Representative Allard. Mr. Anderson, if you could come up, and I think real quick, Ms. Representative Bynum,
yes.
You have a thing.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. I just wanted to apologize for being late to the committee. I was at a bill hearing presenting, and I am up to speed with where we currently are with the amendment and that we are on the process of the bill moving. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Great. No, thank you. Mr. Anderson?
For the record, Brody Anderson, staff to Representative Foster. Before the committee is the question about the fiscal notes and the relationship to the operating budget. This bill, as the committee has a couple options today before it, move the bill out with attached fiscal notes. The bill will continue on its course through over into the other body. At that point, the next body that would probably have the ability to address these fiscal notes would be Senate Finance. And they could address them. You could also hold the bill today to redraft and submit our own House Finance fiscal notes to address any concerns, but the bill would have to remain in our possession while we worked on those to get them drafted and then move the bill out with attached fiscal notes coming from House Finance. But then the third option is to wait until conference committee, let the bill go through with the department fiscal notes as drafted. At the point of conference committee, there will be a reconciliation of fiscal notes that will be added to the operating budget. At that point, The conference committee does have the ability to address conflicts, but funding mechanisms between what was funded in the operating budget and what was funded in fiscal notes, and the fiscal note package that the conference committee puts together could address the likeness and differences and adjust fiscal notes accordingly to what will be passed as the final version of the operating budget. So you have, the committee has a few options moving forward.
Okay. Let's see. I think I do have a line, but I think you still had a question. We ended with, I think you actually had the original question. So let's go back to Representative Hannon first.
Thank you, Representative Foster. And I wanted to just confirm. So Mr. Anderson, if we move the bill as it is, by the time it went to Senate Finance, they would then have fiscal notes produced to the version they have, which has this delayed implementation and one-year study. So the FY27 issues would sort of be resolved in those new fiscal notes, correct?
Through the chair. Thank you. Sorry. Through the chair, that is correct, Representative.
Follow up on that.
Let's see. I should probably get Let me get back into the, and I'll put you in the queue here. We've got Representative Stapp, Allard, and Josephson. Representative Stapp.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just on the topic of the fiscal notes, so the effective date is basically the first day now in FY28, right, July 1. So in theory, like, you probably actually still want to have FY27 appropriations because they're hiring people for jobs, right? So, like, if they're going to have to pay penalties July 1, 27, it would make sense that they have the ability to hire people right before July 1, 27. So my opinion, maybe let the fiscal note people process when the bill goes over to the other body, and then if they need to make corrections, they can probably do it there. But they're just reasons why I would see that you would still maintain 27 appropriations if the bill passed.
Representative Josephson?
Just a question through the chair for Mr. Anderson. So you think that the agencies, a couple weeks from now, God willing, when this is in Senate Finance, would update their fiscal notes to reflect that maybe they don't need all these resources. Maybe they need some, as Representative Stapp said, they would likely issue new fiscal notes. Is that your expectation?
Mr. Anderson?
Through the chair, that is my understanding that the departments update fiscal notes as amended at the next bill hearing request. So the next time this bill is scheduled in a committee, the department would be required to update a fiscal note if it's changed from the previous version.
Mr. Chairman, just a comment that I would be in support of moving this bill out today with that knowledge.
Okay. I don't see any further comments, questions. We did have an objection to moving. Oh, Representative Tomaszewski.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair. So in regards to this bill, I'm certainly wanting the state of Alaska to pay its contracts on time. But this bill adds 7 full-time employees, over $1 million in cost to those. It doesn't address the number of late payments that it's going to be incurring per department. That's going to be on top of this. And we have to understand that these departments already have many vacancies in them. So adding more full-time employees into departments that currently have vacancies, I don't think it's a good look. I think we should be holding these departments accountable and the people accountable who are supposed to be doing this work. And if they can't do the work, I think, there should be some consequences in that. And so I'm not in favor of moving this bill out. And I think the cost at this particular time are pretty high. And we have a lot of variables that we don't yet know. And we don't know what the penalties, how many penalties they're going to have, which is just going to add to our budget. So I will not be in favor of moving this out. Thank you.
Okay. I don't see any further comments or questions. Representative Allard, do you maintain your objection?
I do.
Okay. The objection is maintained. Madam Clerk, if you could please call the roll on House Bill 133, version S.
Representative Hannon?
Yes.
Representative Tomaszewski?
No.
Representative Moore?
No.
Representative Allard?
No.
Representative Stapp?
No.
Representative Galvin?
Yes.
Representative Jimmy?
Yes.
Representative Bynum?
Yes.
Representative Josephson?
Yes.
Representative Shragi?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
7 yay, 4 nay.
And so on a vote of 7 yay to 4 nay, House Bill 133, which is version LS0114/S, moves out of committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. If folks could stick around to sign the committee report, thank you so very much for presenting this, Representative Hemshoot. And in terms of announcements, two things. The first is our next meeting is scheduled for today at 1:30. And at that meeting, we're supposed to hear a presentation from the Department of Education and early development on bond reimbursement grant review. However, the second part is we may very well be on the floor. And if that's the case, then this meeting will either be delayed or canceled. So we'll let folks know. So if there's nothing else to come for the committee, we'll be adjourned at 9:38 a.m. Thank you.